And then we put our faith in Christ, who died for our sins on that cross, who paid the penalty for us when he hung and bled on that cross, so that we could be free, we could be forgiven, and our slate could be clean. And God says, if we'll put our faith in Christ, he'll wash the slate clean. That death will count for us. So if there's anyone here today, or even anyone listening to this on the internet, what's the one thing that's keeping you from Christ? Whether coming to him for salvation or allowing him to have the fullness of his reign and ruling your life. What is the one thing? I'm not interested in all the little tiny things. The one thing, if Jesus were to say one thing you lack, what would it be? He wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. He says, you do this good, you do this good, and this is all great. One thing you need to work on. And then he would say what it is. What's the one thing that's standing between you and the fullness of God in your life, his complete and total lordship in your life? Don't walk away. This is a priceless opportunity. If God is putting his finger on one thing, what is that issue that stands between you and him? Now, I've spoken to a lot of people. I've shared the gospel with a lot of people. And it's interesting. You know, some of these guys, I'll tell them, Jesus died for your sins, rose again from the dead to prove it. There's an empty grave that says you can be saved today. And they'll come up with all these wacky questions.
Well, you know, what do you think about the Shroud of Turin, you know?
I don't know. And I'll tolerate, you know, I'll play along. What the heck? Yeah, I don't know, you know, or what about this or what about that? Or, you know, do you think, you know, what about this guy who said that, you know, this, whatever. But sometimes it goes on and on. And after a while, I'll just say, hey, buddy, wait a minute. Before I answer that, let me ask you this. If I answer this question for you, will you come to Jesus Christ and get saved? If I answer this question, is that the one thing that's standing between you and him? If I answer that for you, will you pray with me right now to receive Christ in your heart?
No.
They always say no. And that's because, yeah, thank you, Gus. You know, it's a smokescreen. Usually the one thing that really, you boil it down, there's one thing that's standing between them and Christ is usually some pet sin that they're not ready to give up. Some idol that they have in their life that they're not ready to sacrifice that stands between them and Christ. Even if they were to say, okay, God, I have this thing. I don't know how I'm going to get rid of it. I want to be rid of it, but I don't know if I've got the power. But I'm willing to if you'll give me the power. I'm willing to if you'll save me. I'm willing to if you can somehow change my heart so that I can be rid of this thing. I want to live for you. God will take that. He can work with that. He can show. He said with every temptation, he'll show a way out. And that he'll count that as faith. If you come to him in brokenness and repentance, he'll do that. God can make a way. So let me close with this. Jesus later told his disciples, it's easier for a camel. He was amazed at this guy, that this guy walked away. And he said, I think partly in frustration, partly in amazement, he says, it's easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. That's a big needle, by the way. It's easier for a camel. And disciples are like, wow, man, who can be saved then? Because literally in that day, they thought you could buy your way into heaven. The Pharisees taught that you give enough alms, you know, you could literally buy your salvation. And the richer you were, the better chance you had of getting saved because that's that much more money you could give. And Jesus said, if you can fit a camel, you know, through the eye of a needle, it's easier for a rich man to get saved. I mean, it's easier to do that than for a rich man to get saved. And they're like, well, if that's the case, who can be saved? And Jesus said, with God, with man, all it's impossible. But with God, all things are possible. So whatever it is that's standing between you and him, if you think, I know this is a problem, but I just don't know how I can get rid of it, let me tell you, brother, you take it to God. God can deal with that. God can give you the power. He can give you the grace. He can give you the opportunity for that thing to get out of your life. It's amazing. It's amazing. Don't let that stop you. With man, it's impossible. With God, all things are possible. You know what the bottom line irony of this whole thing is? And Jesus wasn't trying to take anything away from this guy. He said, sell the stuff. You know, he wasn't trying to deprive this guy of anything. He just wanted him to empty his hands so that he could have greater treasure than he could ever hope to have in this world. You can't lay a hold of that until you let go of this. I want to fill your hands. I want to fill your life. I want to fill your heart. I want to fill you with so much good stuff. There's no room to receive it all. I've got stuff for you. I've got heavenly treasure for you. He wasn't trying to deprive the man of anything. He just wanted him to trade the garbage for the real riches. Paul wrote to the Ephesians, he said, listen, I'm praying for you guys. I want you to know I'm praying for you. You want to know what I'm praying for you? I'm praying this in Ephesians 1:17. He says, I'm praying that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, so you may know what is the hope of your calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power towards us who believe. He's saying here, God wants you to have three things. He wants you to have a destiny and a calling. He wants you to have the riches of His glory of an inheritance. And He wants you to know the exceeding greatness of His power. He says, you know what you get in the kingdom? You get a destiny, you get an inheritance, and you get power beyond imagination. What a deal. That's why I think his name was Jim Elliot, who said, he's no fool who gives up what he can never keep to gain what he can never lose. What a deal. And then Jesus goes on and tells his disciples, if that's not enough, wait, there's more. If you call within the next 5 minutes, Peter said, hey, we left it all and followed you. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one. Everybody say no one. So we're not excluded. There is no one who has left house or brothers, sisters or father or mother, wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time. Houses and brothers, sisters and mothers, children and lands with persecutions. And in the age to come, eternal life. What a deal. What a deal. How is that possible? Because if coming to Christ costs you the respect of your family and your friends, let me tell you, there is a family of God who will love you, who will lay down their life for you, who will sacrifice for you and find it a great joy, pleasure, and honor to do so. If you walk away from mother, father, sisters, brothers for the sake of Christ and the gospel because they think you're a religious nut, let me tell you, there is a whole multitude of people who now are your family, who will welcome you into their homes, who will share the fruit of their lands with you, who will lay down their life for you and befriend you closer than anybody you've ever been related to by blood. You inherit the family of God, and He uses people to bring blessing into our life. We have treasure not only in the age to come, but right here now in this very place. That's why it's so important to press into the body of Christ. We are God's gift to one another so we can be enriched and nurtured and enlivened by the love that we have for one another. Don't worry if Dad says, you get religious on me, you forget about it, you ain't my son no more. That hurts. Yes, it hurts. But let me tell you, God has a lot of people who can't wait to love on you and to welcome you and to be your friend and be closer than a brother to you. And He has them all over the world. You can't count the members of your new family in Christ. So don't, when you count the cost, Jesus wants you to know it's nothing compared to what He has for us. Nothing compares. What a deal, amen? So I don't know what your one thing is, if anything. Praise God, if you've already laid it down, hallelujah, it's gone. Don't lose a moment's sleep over it. But if there is one thing, and God has put His finger on that for you today, I just want to encourage you. And if you would like prayer for that, I would be more than delighted to pray with you over that thing. Amen. Amen.